Father, thank you for today. Thank you this is the day that you've made, and we can be glad and we can rejoice in it. And Father, as we face a new year, as we were just singing, we acknowledge that you're good. We look to the past and we see your faithfulness and your provision and your blessing, and we thank you for your goodness. Father, we look at the present and we know that you're with us, whether we're mourning or we're getting into this year excited or we're struggling with other things, whatever it is, God, in the midst of it all, good or bad, you're there with us, and we thank you. And we look to the future, and we know you're going to be with us as we move into the future you have for us. So today, Lord, as we look at the story of the Israelites, I pray you'll encourage us. You'll encourage us to see that you're a God that's with us through it all, that you're a faithful God and a good God, and we thank you that you are just that. And so, God, in these moments, may you give us ears to hear what your Spirit wants to say to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you know, today is January 5th, which means we have entered a new year. And as we look back on 2019, what kind of a year was it for you? Maybe 2019 was an uneventful year. It was just another year. It wasn't great in any sense. It was just another year. Maybe for some of you, 2019 has been an unforgettable year. Maybe you experienced the joy of new life in your family. Or maybe you experienced the pain and the loss of death. Maybe it was a year where you got that job promotion, or maybe it was a year you lost your job. Maybe it was a year that you finally fulfilled that New Year's resolution and got really fit and healthy. Or maybe it was a year you got the bad diagnosis. Regardless of what type of year it is, 2019 is done. Ahead of us lies a new year, a new decade. And as you look ahead to 2020, what emotions do you feel entering into this new year? Two common emotions that people experience as we enter a new year are anticipation and fear. For some of you, as we enter this new year, it's a year of anticipation. You're anticipating getting married, or you're anticipating the birth of a child or a grandchild. Or maybe this is the year you're anticipating graduating, getting that job you've always wanted. Whatever it is, maybe you're just full of anticipation as you enter this year. On the other hand, maybe you're here today and you're experiencing some fear and anxiety as you look ahead to what 2020 may hold. Anticipation and fear, two emotions we feel as the calendar turns from one year to another. They're also the same emotions that the Israelites felt as they camped on the Jordan River, waiting for instructions from their leaders about how they were going to enter the promised land. Here's the scene. After wandering for 40 years in the wilderness, finally their journey brought the Israelites to the edge of the Jordan River. All that stood between them and the promised land was the Jordan. For 3 days, the Israelites camped on the banks of the river. They're standing at the watershed of history. Behind them was the wilderness. Before them was the promised land. And all that separated them was the river. On the fourth day, the leaders went throughout the camp and gave these instructions to all the Israelites. Joshua chapter 3, starting in verse 2. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Did you notice that line? You've never been this way before. Here were the Israelites preparing to cross the Jordan River, preparing to enter into an unknown future. Truly, they had never been this way before. And what's true of the Israelites is also true of us. As we enter another year, as we enter a new decade, we are going into unknown territory. We have never been this way before. And as the Israelites prepared to move into the unknown, there were three important things they needed to do. They needed to look back, they needed to look at, and they needed to look ahead. As the Israelites prepared to enter into the promised land, they needed to look back. Listen to what Moses, the leader of the Israelites before Joshua, said to them. These are Moses' last instructions to the Israelites. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 8:2. Remember how the Lord your God has led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what is in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. Moses says, remember how the Lord your God has led you. Remember, mark out, set aside, highlight. Moses was telling the Israelites to highlight all the ways God had led them. They were to look back and remember what God had done. They were to look back and remember that God had delivered them from Egypt through the Red Sea. They were to look back and remember that he had kept them alive in the wilderness. They were to look back and remember that God had led them by a pillar and a cloud. And that God had faithfully taken care of their needs, providing for them, sometimes in miraculous ways. Deuteronomy 8:4 says this, your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Deuteronomy 29:5 says this, during the 40 years that I led you through the desert, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet. Isn't that incredible? God took care of their clothing, it never wore out. God took care of their shoes. They lasted 40 years in the desert. Parents, don't you wish God would perform that same miracle today? God supplied their needs. When they didn't have a guide, God provided a pillar and a cloud. When they had no water, God provided water from a rock. When there was no bread, God sent it down. God's care in the past surely would have given the Israelites confidence as they prepared to cross the Jordan into an unknown future. Yes, in front of them was the Jordan River, but behind them was the Red Sea. In front of them was an unknown land, but behind them was the experience of knowing God's guiding hand. In front of them was the need for food and clothing and shelter, but behind them was manna and rock water and miracle clothing. God had been faithful. And listen, as we enter a new year, as we enter a new decade, we don't know what the year and the decade's going to hold, but one thing we do know is God's past faithfulness. We can look back as a church, we can look back as individuals, and we can see God's past faithfulness. How he's worked in us, and how he's been faithful to work through us. Our video team has put together a little reminder of some of the things we were involved in 2019, and so let's take a break and watch the video. Do you want to make yourself come alive in 2019? Do you want to write a great story with your life? Do you really want to experience the activity and the presence of God in your life? Do you want to be part of a movement that sees the city rejoice? Then let's make the decisions together in 2019 that we're going to be Christ followers who are willing to disadvantage ourselves for the sake of others.
I'm involved with the Ministry of Prayer at Saanich. Probably closest to my heart is the worship team. And I come in on Sunday mornings along with another lady and pray through the sanctuary, praying for each person that comes through the door, praying for the worship team and for just the power and the presence of God to be really reflected through the worship time.
So Living Edge is an organization that collects food from the grocery stores that is close to Best Before Date, and they hand that out to people that are in need, that can't afford to buy good food. We serve a lot of people, and they walk away with three or four bags of good food.
The impact that Serve the City has had with Pierce Victoria is, it's hard to even say. Just to know that there's people out there in the community that are thinking about us and care about us and want to volunteer their time to help us out is amazing. It's whenever we get contacted and there's another time coming up, we just always feel the love.
In 2010, we got sent out by Saanich Baptist Church to come to Tanzania to live and work and among unreached people groups. So we have been living with the Zigua people here in Pomfanda for almost 3 years now.
Can you imagine what would happen if we said every single one of us is going to surrender to Jesus daily and then ask the Holy Spirit to empower us as we leave our house to live 6-8? Can you imagine what would happen? Imagine how many lives, how many families, how many neighborhoods would be impacted, transformed in the name of Jesus. You know, not only has God been faithful to bless us and to use us, there have been times, and I'm going to tell you a story of one, where God has used this church to show his faithfulness to others. Let me tell you a story. A few years ago, if you were here, you know we brought a refugee family in from the Congo named the Mamanga family. And the Mamanga family settled in Quebec eventually. Well, our administrator, Eileen, has been telling me we still have some funds available in the refugee account, $13,851. And she said, we need to clean that up, get that off our books. And I said, well, let me see if I can find a church that we could bless with that money who are bringing in a refugee family. And so I talked to a number of churches, but there was nobody. And I said, well, God, you know, you'll provide the right situation. And a few weeks ago, I was having lunch with Darren Phillips. Darren Phillips used to be on staff here at Saanich. He is now the lead pastor of Ocean View Community Church in Ladysmith. God, he's using that church in some powerful and wonderful ways. And I was having lunch with Darren and Duncan, and we're just catching up, and he said, and we just had a fundraiser for our refugee family. I forgot that they were bringing a refugee family in. And I said, oh, yeah, tell me about the fundraiser. And he said, but we're getting concerned. He said, we're bringing a Syrian refugee family in, but he says right now they're in a Turkish refugee camp. And we're afraid because of the political climate that they're going to get sent back to Syria and we're going to lose touch with them. So he says, we really want to get this going, but we don't have enough money. I said, well, how much money do you need? He said, $40,000. I said, how much money have you raised? He said, $28,000. I said, well, God's showing his faithfulness to you. And we wrote him a check for $13,851. I just think what's really cool about that is God set that all up. And God just wanted to show that small church in Ladysmith that I'm a faithful God and I'm with you as you minister for me. Listen, God's working in our past. God's working in our presence should give us confidence as we move into the future. So I want to encourage you to do something before life gets super busy again. I want you to think back at 2019, and I just want you to write down some ways on a piece of paper where God has been faithful. You look back in 2019, and you can see God's faithfulness in your life, in your family's life. I just want to write those things down and put that piece of paper in your Bible or somewhere. And then in 2020, when things may get a little tough, I want you to pull that piece of paper out and read it. And remind yourself that God is faithful. Here's the second thing the Israelites needed to do as they looked to go into the promised land. They needed to look at. It's interesting, the central focus of Joshua chapter 3 and 4 is something called the Ark of the Covenant. It's mentioned 5 times by name, 16 times by inference, 21 times in 2 chapters. That's telling you there's something important here about the Ark. Well, there is something important because the presence of God with the Israelites was symbolized by the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark was a symbol of God's presence among them. Now, the Ark was simply a box made of wood. It was 114 centimeters long, 69 centimeters deep, and it was overlaid with solid gold. There were 2 gold cherubim on the top, and their wings were touching over what was called the mercy seat. And there were gold rings in each corner, and you would move the Ark by putting a pole through the rings and lifting it up. 3 historical reminders were the contents of the Ark. First, there was a copy of the law that God gave Moses. There was a portion of manna from the desert. And there was the rod of Aaron. And in the Old Testament, as I mentioned, the Ark was a reminder to the Israelites of God's presence in their midst. The Ark was the Old Testament equivalent of Emmanuel, God with us. All the Israelites had to do was look at the Ark, and they'd be reminded that God was present with them. Now look at the instructions the Israelites are given in verse 4. Keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. They were to keep a distance from the Ark of about 900 meters. Why? Here's my thought on it. God wanted all the Israelites to focus and follow the Ark. And if the people crowded in too closely, only a few people would have been able to see the Ark. Having the Ark that far away would allow everyone to see it. Everyone would be able to focus on and follow the Ark. And here's why that's important. They were about to cross the Jordan River. Scholars tell us at the time when the Israelites were on the bank of the Jordan was at flood stage. It was a raging torrent. And here the Israelites are, they're looking at this river and going, we're about to cross this. We can't do that. A mom holding her newborn baby going, I can't go across that. We'll die. 2 elderly people looking at that going, we can't step into that. God was saying to them, I don't want you to focus on the raging river. I want you to focus on my presence amongst you. I want you to focus on the Ark. Follow the Ark. You know, that's good advice for us as we enter 2020 together. As we enter a new year, let's keep our focus on Jesus, not the river. Let's keep our focus on Jesus being present among us, not our circumstances, not our challenges. As we enter a new year, let's focus and follow Jesus. Let's look to Him, the one who will provide a path through whatever the new year will hold. And so the Levites, the priests, they were to lift the Ark up and they were to carry it into the Jordan River first, ahead of the people. It says the priests will be carrying the Ark. When their feet touch the water, the flow of the water will be cut off upstream. Then the Israelites were to pass by. The priests carrying the Ark stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by, and then the Ark would bring up the rear. Do you see what was happening? Here are the priests. They're walking into this raging torrent. As they walk in with the Ark, the river stops upstream. It gets blocked. Now it's dry, probably muddy ground. And as they stand in the middle with the Ark, all the Israelites would walk past the Ark up into the promised land. And when everyone had gone by, then the priests would follow with the Ark. Do you see what a great picture of God's presence in the midst of His people that is? He goes before them. He is among them. He comes behind them. He is always and ever present with them. And listen, as we look at 2020, we don't know what the year or the future will hold, but there's one thing we can know for certain: God's presence with us. Isaiah 43 says this, when you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. As we enter 2020, let's remember God goes before us, God is with us, and He is following after us. And that is good news as we enter a new year. And then finally, as the Israelites prepare to enter the promised land, they needed to look ahead. After 40 years in the wilderness, after all those years with no real direction or purpose, there was hope. There was finally hope. Listen to the words of Joshua 3:5. For tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. I'm sure when they heard those words, hope and vision and faith began to well up in their souls. And as they crossed the Jordan, the people looked ahead to what the future held. Do you know, it's never good in any life or business or relationship or church when memories of the past are more important and impactful than the dreams and the hopes of tomorrow. You know, as a church, we can look back and we can see God's working in people's lives. We can see God's working in our church collectively, and we can look at His faithfulness. We can look at His blessing. We can see how God has used us in powerful ways. But I'm here to tell you, the best days of Sandwich Baptist Church are ahead of her, not behind her. And so let's claim the words of Joshua 3:5 as we enter 2020. For tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among us. God is affording us a brand new year, a new beginning. He wants to work in us, and He wants to work through us. God wants us to come alive to His presence in 2020 like never before. So He can use us to bring life to others. So He can use us to bring hope to a hurting humanity. So He can use us to bring joy and life to our neighborhoods and our workplaces and our schools. So what's our role in all of this? What do we need to do as we enter into a new year? Well, look back to Joshua 3:5. Joshua tells us there is something God wants us to do. He says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. We're to consecrate ourselves. What on earth does that mean, you're asking? It means to set yourself apart for the Lord, to dedicate yourself to the Lord, to make yourself totally His. God was saying to the Israelites through Joshua as they faced the unknown on the other side of the Jordan River, He was saying, what you need to do to get ready for the future is to make sure you're yielded to God. You're set apart. You're dedicated. You're surrendered to Him. Those are good words for us as we enter 2020. That each of us would take time to make sure that we're set apart, that we're dedicated, surrendered, yielded to God. I like the way Romans 12:1 in the Message says. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. What a great thing to do as we enter 2020. As we cross into a new year with new opportunities and new beginnings, let's consecrate ourselves. Let's make sure we are right with God. Let's surrender ourselves to Him. Let's rededicate ourselves to Him. Let's present ourselves as an offering to Him. And you're going to have an opportunity to do this in just a few minutes when Lindsay comes and leads us through communion. You know, the elements speak of God's love, God's sacrifice, God's faithfulness, God's blessing. And our response as we enter a new year is simply to say, God, in response to all you've done and your great love, I want to rededicate myself. I want to surrender myself. I want to consecrate myself before you as I enter a new year with you.